Hey, happy new year, everyone. Hi, my name is Brandon Pendleton. I'm with the New Hope teaching team and the New Hope leadership team. So glad to be able to share a few minutes with you today, and I pray that it truly encourages each of us to keep growing closer to the Lord or get to know the Lord at a deeper level. So the clip we just watched was from a rapper or a Christian poet by the name of Propaganda. That's his moniker that he uses in the hip hop scenes. But his government name is Jason Petty. But I got hip to him over 17 years ago, and he's just watching from afar. It's really been a blessing just seeing just someone who has a name like Propaganda, which from his perspective means you know, just simply to spread or share your ideas. You know, as a rapper and as a poet, that's what you're doing, sharing that perspective. But to see him, you know, 17 years plus down the road, and what God is doing in his life and using him in the communities and in the places that he sits is just awesome. So that piece that we watched was called "The Gospel in 4 Minutes," and he did that in collaboration with a youth evangelism organization as part of their curriculum. Excuse me. And so it just, you know, one of the things that I love about God and thinking about that is God is committed to reaching people. He does not care about the walks of life we come from. He doesn't care about, you know, the race. He doesn't care about race. He doesn't care about ethnicity, socioeconomic status. Those things are not barriers to us getting to know him, is where I'm going. He is open and wants all people. No matter what life experiences you've had, no matter what origin you come from, what career you have, they do not matter. Your level of education that you have, your fitness level, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, it does not matter. God is committed to getting the gospel to all people. And what we witnessed in the Gospel in 4 Minutes poetry piece is an example of, for those who subscribe to the hip hop culture, you know, that's one avenue that he's used to get this message out. For some folks, we may not subscribe to that, and that's cool. If that's not you, that's cool. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're a believer and God reached you wherever you were, and he got you and he brought you in, with the message of the gospel. So I just thought that would be great since we're talking about long story short and sharing my testimony. For today's message, my aim is honestly to share my story and then to transition into just some key observations, or I wouldn't call them observations, just some key things that I've learned that are part of this faith journey with Jesus. So for starters, you know, I gave my life to the Lord between 5th and 6th grade, and that's well over 27 years ago. In that time, or before leading up to that decision, God was already sowing and nurturing a seed of his truth in my heart. I would say I grew up in the church, and it started with my mom taking me and my siblings to church every Sunday. And this was prior to them getting divorced. A major life change. My mom getting divorced from my dad, that is. And so in that, you know, I would go as a youngster, and I honestly would fall asleep during the sermon parts of it. But anything that was related to music or other activities happening during the service, for some reason, that drew me in. That had my full attention there. But after my parents were divorced, you know, we as a family, we stopped going to church. But the neighborhood we moved into with my mom, there was a church actually being built behind it. And what was kind of cool about that is that there were, while they were building the church, they were already reaching out in the community. They were talking to the kids, you know, what they were even offer up, you know, sharing some of their snacks while they were working with us. I mean, it was pretty cool. I think one of my favorite ones was their, like, a chocolate chip M&M cookie. Yeah, The chocolate M&M cookie was my thing. But while they were building the church, one of the things that they made clear to us is that they were looking to have a local Bible study on Wednesday nights. And I had never heard of the Bible study. No clue what it was. I've always heard of Sunday school. So when we so my sister and I, one of my sisters and I decided to check out their Bible study, and it was amazing because there we played a lot of games and heard more of the truth, learned Bible scriptures, things of that nature. The only one piece that I didn't have there was that most of the people that attended that church never actually didn't live in the neighborhood that we lived in. So it was really the bonds were only built on Wednesday and nurtured on Wednesday. But anyway, so again, God nurtured that seed through that experience as well. But when we ended up moving from there, and this when, in our new place that we lived, I met my best friend for now. He's like that's my brother, but at the time, had no clue who he was, but he knew my family because I happened to be out of town during the summers when we moved to visit to spending time with my grandparents. But anyway, he had encouraged me to he had one day came by the home and invited me to go to church with him and his family, and he mentioned to me about this phenomenon called youth church, and I was like, youth church? What is that? I'm not familiar with youth church. And so got permission to go with my mom, and that changed my world because I saw young people, who loving God. They were on fire, they were energy, they were, just people my age. And just the way things were taught to me, I realized that, it wasn't above my head. I could that's probably why I was falling asleep in those other sermons, because I couldn't relate to what they were talking about, or couldn't understand what he was saying because I hadn't lived life long enough. But so it was cool, it was really good to be there. And that's where and that's really where the gospel was being preached to me even more, with intention. And also this phenomenon about having a personal relationship with God was introduced to me, because I always, as much as I had always been believed that, we're God's children, all these different things, and heard about Jesus, this element of a personal relationship was not something that had resonated with me until that time. And so I remember vividly being in a breakout session from the main service, and there was a I think this the message was related to David and Goliath, and the teacher was talking to me to not to me but to us about issues in your life that you're facing, and that with God you can overcome and conquer any giant in your life if you just trust him and lean on him. And for me at that time, a lot of pain, a lot of fear, with my parents being divorced, being in a new place, just uncomfortable, all these different things, insecure little kid. But just that message, something about that message had just really just resonated with me with making that decision. And they were like, well, the only way to that you can leverage that help, that God can give you that help, is if you give your life to Jesus Christ. That you can that if you confess your sins, that he will be faithful and just to forgive you. And so as that scripture says. And so needless to say, I wanted to activate that help. I wanted that supernatural help to go along with things that I have been hearing for so long, and to know that, God loves me personally, and as much as he loves everybody in the world personally, but he really does care about little old insecure me. I wanted to jump in on that. I was all in. So needless to say, I gave my life to the Lord then. And then I remember a few years later, getting baptized, giving, and that was an amazing experience, because I wanted to say my mother had attended church with me, because up until that time she had kind of, just because of the work scheduling thing, she had kind of been inconsistent. But yeah, I got baptized as well, and I mean, then I just felt something just even more different about me, and just wanting to grow and to learn. Well, so I get through my middle school years, getting baptized, but I'm not saying I'm perfect because I got stuff going on. But I've had a few life scares that happened that always brought me to a place of just thinking about Jesus and how much God must love me. For example, I remember being in middle school and I had a significant injury to my head. I actually had the scar across the top of my head, that happened during a school event. And it was very bad. And to find a story out that, the teacher who administered first aid to me had just received training the day before, blew my mind. And I just remember being in the hospital. I looked at my mom, because also I was an asthmatic kid. So when my mother got the call, she was concerned that something respiratory was an issue, but she found out it was something different. But when I was talking to my mom, I just looked at my mom. I said, "Mom," I said, "God must really love me." And because I remember my plan was to walk to the office when I had hit my head during that school event, so I can call my mother and all that type of stuff. But what ended up happening is that the teacher intercepted me on the way, and he had told me, and the paramedics had told me, if I had have gotten a chance to get out the door and walk to the office, I would have passed out on the way. And mind you, all the teachers were actually in that one building because it was a school grade-wise event. So it was. So I just told my mom that story. I was like, "Mom, God must love me, because I really, yeah. There, I had no other way to say it, because the way things had happened, he truly had another resource available with my teacher. I go through that, and in the process, I get into high school, and still going to church, still remembering the decision I made. But that's just what I felt like the heat was turned up in my life, where getting more serious about this faith walk with God, that I don't have to wait to become an adult to be serious about Jesus, that Jesus does care for me, and that God can use me and do something mightily, through me, even at the age that I'm at. And so, and this is coming through our church to help us, and through the leadership team, and that this hub, and they literally will call it the hub of people serving our youth ministry, to making sure that we're committed to Jesus, and also understanding who we are and what we have available to us in a walk with Him. And that just was, I mean, the teaching was awesome, and it challenged me to see that God, there's so much more to my faith than what I had been believing. Because I'm reading scriptures where Jesus is talking to the disciples about the importance of them picking up their cross and denying themselves and following Him, and realizing that that same call comes to any follower, not just to those disciples, because of the work that they did in scripture. But anyway, God is, I mean, I'm still floored just remembering those times. And so then I kind of just fast forward into life, and through college, growing and serving in college, and redoing, being able to link up with other people in ministry, and other just college students who are, quote unquote, on fire for Jesus and want to be used by God, and found out that God had been working in their lives the way that He'd been working in mine, or if not greater. And we just thought of just different opportunities that we could capitalize on, such that we could be used of Him through college. But then my world changes significantly, because up to that point, I've been living in life, not necessarily in a bubble, but I've been living life as a youth. So I haven't actually lived 100% on my own as an adult. And so what happens in the process is that I am brought to this place where I am brought to this place where now I'm graduating college, and I'm moving into a brand new location away from all that I've known, the protections, the relationships, and now I'm having to even more lean upon God in this new area. Almost like You know, like we've reading, when you're reading scripture, you see where people are moving across lands and, you know, and they're just leaning on God for their protection and their provisions. So I take a job in this area, in the DMV area, and I'm learning how to make a living. I'm learning how to get plugged into another church. I'm learning how to deal with certain life issues. I had just gotten my license, believe it or not. I got my license like at 21, 22, something like that. And then I got my first car after that too. And you know, just a number of things that got married about a year after moving into the area. And it was just a lot that went into just me growing in this season of seeing Jesus, what it is to walk with Jesus as an adult. That's the way I look at it. Because all my life, all my growing years have been in the context of me as a youth. And it's not to say that people didn't try to help prepare me and give me resources, because they were, but growing into my manhood as a man of God, what does that really mean? Asking deeper level of questions, understanding what's expected of me, how do I engage in corporate America, having all these different desires to be effective and be a light for God, as I've had through my youth and through my experiences in college, now wanting to translate that over. And it's a whirlwind. It's like starting, for me, it was like starting at square one, but it brought me back to this space of God has always kept me. He has always been with me and my faith, and he would never let me go. And along that road, I experienced a lot of growth, but a lot of challenges. How to manage my finances, how to manage a family, how to be a supportive spouse, how to do just a number of things. Of just life circumstances, along with becoming and growing closer to God, being exposed to different cultures and different groups of people, and people with different walks of life that are very different than mine. I mean, I stress very different than my experiences. And learning how do I engage? How do I build? How do I not lose sight of this faith? Finding people who didn't have faith in God like me. Or faith in Christ like me, or relationship with God like me. But yet still, because of the circumstances, of whether it's work or being in the same community or whatever, the need to still build and reach out and also execute on what I know. Because at the end of the day, I know God still desires to have a relationship with all people. So, yeah, it's been a thing where my journey is still ongoing. And I'm growing, and definitely, I think the biggest thing that has caught my attention in all this are just the number of is how God is still faithful in the midst of just life circumstances. Learning that life circumstances are going to hit and happen, but doesn't guarantee that it's going to be easier. Being a father, and having a son, and children dealing with various health issues, having a son who, well, not just a son, my wife, being in a situation where both pregnancies with our kids were very high risk for her, and then after the birth of our son, if it hadn't been for truly a work of the Lord, you know, she was on the verge of death. And just some interventions there, trying to be in grad school and all along trying to do that and be in grad school and do other things, on top of just family members passing away. It's just a lot along with that. And the intent here is not for me to try to get to this woe is me or anything, but it's really just to admit the fact that on this journey with Jesus, it's been a I've grown accustomed to learning that that it's not about the it's not about easy peasy lemon squeezy, as they say, right? With life experiences are still going to happen, and it's necessary for me to still hold on to. So that's kind of a long story, like a synopsis of maybe 28 years. No, actually more than that. Yeah, 28 years worth of faith walking, if you will. And so I want to get in scripture here, fam, because I think it's very important for us to kind of highlight a few things while I have a few more minutes with you. And I think at the in this faith journey, like I said, I've met a number of people. And one of the things that has always continued to blow my mind is that, and I say blows my mind because it's a consistent theme, and I just see it. Not that I expect differently, but it's just how consistent God is. It's the fact that God desires a Christ-centered relationship with all people. And when I say all people, I mean all people. And that is, he does not judge based on walk of life. He doesn't care about those things. He cares about your heart. He understands the circumstances that we all face, whether they're shared or unique. But God is 100% committed to reaching all people. And I think there are some great examples in the Bible, some of which I've listed in your notes. But check this out. John 3:16 is the like the banner, if you will, of when we're talking about the gospel of Jesus and following him. And it's that God so loved God, excuse me, for God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That is the crux of our faith, that truth right there. As the second part of 2 Peter 3:9 says, and that he does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. God is so dope and so patient and amazing in what he does, is that he still, regardless of our sin, regardless of anything, he loves us so much. He wants that personal relationship with him that is Christ-centered, because Christ is the gateway to him. So there are four people I mentioned here in the notes, in your notes, that I think will be very helpful for you. Nicodemus, the Samaritan woman, Paul, and Peter and Cornelius, and these scripture that will be very significant in just honing in on that truth that God desires a personal relationship with all people. But and one of the things that I've learned too in my journey, with some of the pieces that I share with you, is I've learned that knowing about Jesus is not a substitute for knowing Jesus. Knowing about Jesus is not the same thing. That if you know Jesus, you follow Jesus. But knowing about Jesus and following Jesus, almost like that Not a Fan series, if you remember that, for those who've been at New Hope for a while, or maybe as a Christian you've been exposed to that. But that Not a Fan series, a follower, truly a person who follows Jesus, knows him. In Matthew 7:21 through 23, I think a great depiction of that, which says, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" Powerful, powerful. Knowing about Jesus is not the same, or is not a substitute for knowing Jesus. And so along with this, I mean, there's so much to walking with Christ and growing in faith and with him. I just, like I said, for my personal story, there's just a few things I want to just highlight that I've learned, that what's also included in this space of being called a follower of Jesus. And I've learned that, being a follower of Jesus has a lifelong commitment to discipleship. It's this unending, ongoing spiritual growth and maturity process. And Jesus says it this way perfectly. He says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me.'" Plain and simple, fam. This is a daily decision to follow him, to follow his lead. Because remember, he did save us from the power of sin and death over our lives. We still have this flesh suit. We still have a mind, a will that God established within us. And sometimes that thing can be contrary because of our, sometimes our desires can be different, but we have to build that. It is necessary. I've learned this is a lifelong commitment, a choice that God freely gave us because God didn't want robots. If he wanted robots, he would have made us robots. He gave us free will, the will to choose and decide, because it's all based on love. Love is a choice. It's an action, and it's a reflection. So to that point, that's another lesson or another thing that I've learned that's included in this package of being a follower of Jesus. The other piece to this, and I learned this a lot through my time growing in youth ministry, just the way we were trained, and also it's been solidified as we've grown in I've grown in my relationship with the Lord, in my adult years, is that God wants us to, that being a follower of Jesus takes personal responsibility. Dear friends, you always followed my instruction. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the Church of Philippi, and I find it very interesting that he says this, but this goes back to personal responsibility. He goes, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. I have a responsibility to obey the Father and reverence him. And granted, it is a relationship that I build with. I do love the structure of a family and being a parent myself. It definitely has been an avenue for me to kind of sit back and reflect on the Heavenly Father and just his grace and mercy and love that he has. And as I seek to follow his model as for parenting, and apply it to my life, to my life. But yeah, being a follower of Jesus has that personal responsibility. The other piece of this is be diligent, as 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, correctly teaching the word of truth. In walking with Jesus and following him, I've learned also that what's included in this package is understanding that life circumstances or life's challenges will still happen. I'm not exonerated from it. No one is. That just because we're with Jesus, that does not mean that the rain doesn't come. It doesn't mean that we won't experience a loss. It doesn't mean that we won't experience a pandemic. It's just a number of things there. I know 2020 was hard for many of us, and in many ways still is. It carries over to 2021 for at a number of different levels. But here's the thing about life circumstances that anchors that I've learned in my journey that has anchored me even in the most deepest, darkest, and difficult times, especially when, like some of the things I mentioned earlier with my story. Anyone, Matthew 7, 24 through 27, this is Jesus talking here. He goes, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and flood waters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and when the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So yeah, so that understanding of life circumstances or challenges, they still will happen, even on this journey. Another thing that I've learned comes with the package of following Jesus is that as we get close to him, as we take and learn from him, it's that he challenges the way we think and how we live. Case in point, Romans 12, 1 through 2 says it like this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That's been good. And as there's been also another scripture out there that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, those God, that's just part of the package. As we take of him, as we get closer to him, we change, we grow, we learn. Things that we may have, there are things that we pick up along the way in this journey of life that's, let's just be honest, it's not necessarily aligned with him or aligned with his thinking or his plan. And so we've, and in believing that his way is perfect and that he knows all, you know, we get things that are presented to us, that we get truth and light, if you will, that's presented to us. And that challenges us to have to make a decision, which again goes back to the earlier point where we pick up our cross and choose to follow him daily. What's one of the things that really is sobering for me in all of this is that on the journey, God in his infinite wisdom, just like with Jesus, he knew that we couldn't redeem ourselves. He also knew that we would need help in everything that we do. And so I love how Jesus said he prayed to the Heavenly Father and he asked him for a helper for us in John 14. And that's, God will always give us divine assistance in all things, with all things. And here's what Jesus says here. I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you in all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit, because I remember being in situations where I work, life, new circumstances, and I'm like, I need his help. I need guidance. I need wisdom. Lord, please don't let me do anything that doesn't please you. Help me to not give in to temptation. Oh, that's one element I didn't even get a chance to dive into. Just, I don't even have enough time, but just temptation and how to overcome those temptations, where I may have fallen short and be restored by God on this journey. All that is because all that the ability to keep my head up, to keep pressing through and persevering, that divine assistance from the Holy Spirit. So thankful for that and for him. And so these last two pieces have to do with others. And as I get ready to close out, and I do appreciate your patience and your time with me, fam. In Matthew 28, Matthew 28 reflects this point right here, that sharing God's goodness and faithfulness is important to, is inclusive in this faith walk and in this following walk with Jesus. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Ah, that right there, as I have grown, I am an introvert by nature. I get overwhelmed having to talk to people over time. I get scared at times. But there's something about the goodness of God in my life and what the Lord has shown me, what the Lord has done for me, that brings me to a place where I got to raise my hand and say, Lord, use me. Whatever you can do in my life, however you can use my life to get glory for you, please let me share. And when I remember giving God, just using the phrase, I thank God, I praise God for some things worked out for me. I praise God that this is good. You know, some people, you know, were trying to tell me, you don't need to praise God for everything. I say, oh, yes, I do. You don't know my story. You don't know the stresses that happened. You don't know what I was doing, the late nights and the stresses I was home, the sleepless nights I had. I do praise God for all that he has done and continue to do with me. And so this sharing God's goodness and faithfulness is a component of following him, because people need to know, they need to hear. Because how can they hear, as scripture teaches us, how can they hear unless they have, they don't, unless they have a messenger? And so in that too, though, there's another part that kind of goes along with that, is that, you know, in this faith walk with Jesus, it also includes impacting our communities and the world for his glory. At the end of the day, it's not really about us. And see, that's where even as propaganda said in his the poet in his poem, he mentioned about the selfishness, the good deeds, all that stuff. And that has nothing to do with anything to do to get us in our relationship with God. It's, we're saved by grace, as scripture teaches us, and his love. And because of that, you know, we should be so grateful to the earlier point, to share his goodness, because at the end of the day, it's about reaching others with the gospel truth, such that everything points back to him. Brandon can't do nothing for nobody. Brandon can be a resource that God chooses to use, and I'm very thankful. But as scripture tells me, God spoke through a donkey to get a message to somebody. So you know what? If he can use a donkey, I know he can use me for something. And so I'm willing to be used of him to make an impact for his glory, just for somebody to see something. Because just like I talked about my story, where along the road, God used different people to nurture a seed, as Paul talks about in the New Testament as well, the reality is one person sows the seed, one person nurtures the seed. But God gives the increase in his time. So it is all about us just playing our roles, because people need to hear the good news. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." It's all about him. It's all about him. And quite frankly, as scripture says, he planned this out for us long ago. By virtue of us entering into the right relationship with him, we can just walk in it now with his power, with his blessing, with his wisdom and his help. Matthew 14:16, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp, then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that they can praise us? No. Let your good deeds shine out to all. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Like John the Baptist says, we must decrease, he must increase. So it's all about reaching him. And by the grace of God, I've had opportunities in the community to be able to be a resource that he uses to help somebody else for his glory. And prayerfully, those folks that I did, you know, that reached back to the Lord, they said, thank you, God, to whatever way they could, and maybe made a decision to follow Jesus. And if it's not quite there yet, it's okay. Because as scripture tells us, man, God brings the increase in his time. Long story short, fam, Your story is significant. Your walk with Jesus is significant. You being here right now is significant. Do not undervalue what you have experienced in life, but at the same time, do not limit yourself in your journey. God has so much more for us to know, and it's important for us to know about him and for us to do within this world. And what he's looking for, one of the things I've learned as well that's not in your notes, he's looking for anyone who is just willing to be a resource, who's willing to stay committed to him, who's willing to grow such that he can, whose hearts are turned towards him, and who's looking to be just available to be used for his glory, because the times are important and they're significant. And so I look forward to continuing to build and grow and hearing and seeing testimonies. So do not hesitate when God gives you opportunity, fam, to share with somebody in your community or within your spheres of influence, just of God's goodness and the hope it is that you have and believe. Love you and God bless. Take care.
Hello, New Hope. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to worship you freely. We thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for watching over us as we each traveled our individual paths to this moment. We give praise, honor, and glory to you for the diversity of our experiences, for our different upbringings, for our difference of perspectives, cultures, personalities, even for the different ways we worship you. This year, we all have experienced difficulties and challenges, and even blessings. Our relationship with you helped make us more resilient and enabled us to depend on you in ways most of us never thought we would even need to. The hope that we have, because we are followers of Christ, helps us endure even our darkest days. Father, you know I find it difficult to have the perspective you call me to have in the book of James, when you say that we should consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds. Help me to take the long and more difficult view that you are growing, molding, and strengthening me because you so greatly desire a relationship with each one of us and for us to live in love and relationship with each other. We ask that you help us hold on to the lessons we've learned during this time, to hold tight to the relationships we have had the opportunity to strengthen with you and with our fellow brothers and sisters, so that we can better serve you and each other. Help us to have faith that the good news you have promised will come to pass. Help us know and accept your everlasting love for each of us, regardless of the road we have taken to meet you at this place. Lord, we thank you for your presence in our lives as we pray in your name. Amen.